Hey guys, I'm Cassim.
And I'm Fiona Nova.
And you're listening to the Cream Team Dream Stream, sponsored by the fine folks at HeartAudioCables.com.
Use code KWIO at checkout at HeartAudioCables.com to get 15% off your entire order.
That's right. And we're also available wherever you listen to your podcast, including Apple and Spotify.
Thanks for listening.
Great work.
Hell yeah.
That made me come.
Dude, frick yeah, man. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cream Team Dream Stream.
I'm here, by the way.
Podcast. What the hell?
Sorry, wait.
Fiona is in. All right. While we queue her up, sometimes I wish we could just keep that photo of her up there for the whole, maybe just like do the old Conan thing where we have her mouth.
You can. Move. You can keep that there.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Happy Monday. Aloha Monday. Start of a new week. It's good to be here. The show, as always, is brought to you by HeartAudioCables.com. Use the promo code QUIO. Save yourself 15%. There are some bomb-ass Heart Audio X Cream Team Collabo shirts that are $26 before the promo code. They are Heart Audio in the front, Party Cream Team in the back, like a mullet. So, if you guys want to take a look at the site, if you haven't had the opportunity, I recommend sizing up. And that's the business. Good morning, good afternoon. I think it's afternoon now, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Unless you're in Hawaii time.
Bro. Why are you about Hawaii right now?
Dude, I miss it. I really do. Especially when the days are gloomy like this. I just wish I was on the islands, bro. I'm just like out there with the sand between my toes.
That's just kind of how Cass and I are. We're sort of like natural people.
You said
sort of
Hawaiian. You're like Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. We're sort of beach people.
You're beach people.
Yeah, everybody.
If I'm not at home, I'm riding waves on the ocean.
Sure.
I think that's how you say it.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's so fun to do this remote again because of the weather. I think there's a huge sense of relief, I think, on all parties. Because it's like, you guys don't have to drive.
No, I actually, there's no relief for me. I was literally on my way there.
It's sort of like a nice little ritual going over to your place.
I like going there. I like doing it.
But Cassidy when school gets rained out.
Cassim's I feel bad we for don't you guys. Like it.
I mostly feel bad because you guys have to drive, and I had to drive all that way to Burbank.
Well, I'm moving this month.
A couple years.
So then it's easier. Although they just delayed my move again.
Again?
So I don't know when.
What the hell?
That's annoying.
But I told my building I'm leaving, so I might be sort of semi-homeless for like 2 weeks.
What?
Daddy's got an Airstream with your name on it.
Puffy Bear finally have a bunkmate.
Oh fuck, I have to give Puffy Bear notice.
Then. Yeah.
It's time to leave.
I think I would get an Airbnb because I've always kind of wanted to do like a LA staycation. And I can just call it that.
Yeah.
But try in the out shittiest parts Airbnb. Of the
yeah. Get one like right over the flight path.
Yes.
Like in like right in a really like real dicey part of town, right over the flight path.
I'm gonna rent out the Chili's to go in LAX and just bunk in there.
Oh, you can do Terminal 2, Tom Hanks sequel.
It's cheaper than any apartment.
I do have an announcement. Actually, we just did another movie night on Saturday. We watched Starship Troopers. We're looking to do the next one. I wanted to see if you guys wanted to, if we didn't do it on a weekend, is there a day that you guys would be able to tune in for a movie night?
Sundays are way easier for me. Or
Sunday is interesting.
Thursday or Tuesday, I technically could leave my night open.
Tuesday night sounds not bad.
Saturday is just like the only day I ever have random shows and like friend engagement-y kind of things.
Fiona, could you make a Sunday work potentially?
I can make a Sunday work.
So it's Tuesdays I have, Tuesday, Thursday nights I have a thing, but maybe we can do
Wait,
Sunday
this coming
night.
Up?
Well, just typically.
I could do next Sunday, not this Sunday. Apparently is
my 1 year anniversary with my girlfriend.
When you say apparently, is that because she gave you that information?
Yeah, well, apparently. apparently yesterday.
What are you, that kid from the fucking news?
Apparently, yesterday was the anniversary of our first kiss.
Somebody's good with dates.
Right. And so I was like, oh, okay.
I like
and
that.
So now she got us an Airbnb for our anniversary of our, I guess, our first date.
Ooh. Fee, do you like Airbnbs? I've dated multiple women that refuse to do Airbnbs because they feel they're either a sense of dirtiness and germs or that there's cameras everywhere and they'll
watch us
in the shower.
I really
the camera
like,
thing does worry me.
The camera thing, right? But I'm like, I'm not doing anything unless they want to, like, I don't know, if they want to, like, put out my sex tape. I don't really know what I don't think I'd have any shame, honestly, if that were to come out. But what I will say is that I love the Airbnbs because I love the cool ones, like the ones in Joshua Tree where it's like you have your little cowboy pool and, like, you know, it's like very cute. And so this one is like a tree house, so it's like really cool. It's like decked out. Like, I don't think I'd go in an Airbnb that looks like a regular apartment. I just don't think I would do that. Yeah. I'd just get a hotel.
I see.
But yeah,
because I've thrown that out.
It's gotta have something. Oh, sorry, you can't have access. Yeah. I'm just saying it's got to have something maybe you don't have in your home or your area. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking about that case for the place that you may Airbnb?
I've just suggested, like, a nice Airbnb is like a cool couples thing to do. And I've never gotten the response of, like, yeah, that sounds great. Even if it's nice, it's always like, no, it's fucking disgusting. And they're going to release our sex tape and we won't profit from it.
I had some very, now looking back, I had some very shady Airbnbs and some really inappropriate Airbnb owners. For sure this place, I Airbnb'd in New York when I was dating somebody who lived in Brooklyn. So I Airbnb'd in Brooklyn a lot. And this place was really cool, had a nice little rooftop thing, great views. But they said specifically that a guy had to show up every 2 days to water his plants. And I was like,
that's weird. Right.
And then, like, you would just, like, wake up and there'd be just some random dude and they would be too chatty. And, like,
yeah,
honestly, like, what kind of plants do you have that really need that much water?
Yeah.
And why are you Airbnb-ing? I think it was like a way for him to make sure we weren't doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
But also, like, the dudes in there were, and the guy that came to water them, I'm pretty sure was the owner, but he just said he was a friend of the owner, but I'm pretty sure it was the owner.
Yeah. I think that's the only issue with Airbnbs is, like, I think a lot of these people like the convenience of Airbnbs, but actually don't want to, like, go through the process of having an Airbnb. Like, they don't like that people are at their place, but they like the convenience that people are
they
at
like
their
the
place.
Money
they like the yeah. money, but they don't like that people are at the place at their place, so they'll try any way to, like, make it as uncomfortable yeah. as possible for you.
I and do it's like just it when like you call them to get the keys and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was eating a sandwich and going down on someone, so my mouth yeah, is as, like, wet as possible, and I was waking up from a nap.
Right. It's definitely, yeah. I only like the Airbnbs that are, like, cool, like the unique ones. I think those are fun. Otherwise, no. Let's just get
over it. It is worrying about the cameras, though, because every time I'm on TikTok, I'm like, there's an even smaller pinhead needle camera that they're selling on the TikTok shop that's, like, obviously meant for people to, like, hide around their house.
I just unfortunately I know Kevin has that fear, but mm-hmm. I don't think I care enough. Like, I don't know, like, what could they catch me doing that is,
I think,
so
it's just
scary.
Like, them watching you, like, pork, which, like, I don't really care, but, like, I feel like if you're doing that, you're probably uploading it to some porn
yeah
site,
probably like
knowledge.
Yeah, probably.
I would just be so bummed if a sex tape actually went somewhere and I didn't, like, put it on an OnlyFans, because you could have
yeah.
made so much money.
Yeah, also, like, if they were to come out, it'd be like, oh, whoa, this was like a secret camera that they put in an Airbnb. I think they'd have more trouble. Like, I would be able to, like, easily find like who these people are from just the Airbnb. Like Airbnb has so much of their information that if they were to upload secret footage of me having sex, I feel like I would make so much money from the lawsuit.
Maybe the dark web is just Airbnb owners. Maybe when people say dark web, they mean like the message boards for Airbnb property owners.
Also, like, also, here's a conversation. For a guy, does it even matter to have a sex tape?
Depends how your penis looks in it.
Like, if you're the dude, right? Like, who fucking gives a shit?
I think most men generally have been hurt way less by sex tapes than
way
most
less. Like,
that's essentially what the whole Pamela and Tommy Lee thing kind of became about in the little mini series, was like, it really did wonders for Tommy Lee's career.
Yeah, right.
And it was sort of traumatic and a problem for Pamela Anderson, who didn't want to be seen in that way. Even though she was posing in Playboy, it was different because those were her decisions, her choices. And she chose to like be artsy in certain ways and show certain things that she wouldn't normally show. But then this just like this tape, which I saw as a kid, and it like, and I've said this before, that it completely shaped how I thought penises were supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, like I am way behind in penis.
I gotta catch up on my research.
I gotta catch up on penis if this is what the typical guy. And Tommy Lee just like was out there, just like he was already a rock star, but now he was like a big dick rock star, and it just really sort of made his legend, cemented his legend. But then Pamela was just like really traumatized. It was her very private, intimate moments turned into like the biggest, highest grossing porno tape ever made. And that's like, and a lot of people go like, yeah, but she was posing. It's like, nah, that's not really the point. The point is like somebody made a ton of fucking money breaking into their house, and
which is crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. And that's why I really believe the Kim Kardashian tape stuff was
like a scheme, like a marketing scheme.
I don't know if there's any famous sex tape though where the guy has like a really weird penis. Like for instance, there's another Pamela Anderson sex tape with some other rock star.
Is it Bret Michaels?
Yeah. It's I think the poison
Bret
guy.
Hart is the wrestler.
Bret Hart's the wrestler.
Bret Michaels, didn't he get a BJ from her or something?
Yes, I think
he's the guy that wore the bandana.
A young Case Blackwell has seen both, and I think the reason you don't hear as much about the other one is the penis isn't bad, it's just very normal, whereas Tommy Lee's penis is like it's very porny.
Tommy Lee, she like, there's a moment that I'll never forget. It's imprinted in my mind. They're like driving and he's wearing shorts. And she like goes down to his like thigh and she flips up the short, like the shorts on his thigh, and his penis head is like right there.
It's next to his knee.
It's so far down his leg. You're like, oh my God, I was not expecting penis head right there. And then he like honks the horn on a boat with it. It's just like he does all these things that I've just never thought to do or have the ability to do. I think it grabs a peanut at one point.
Like, do you think there's a world, like, let's say, because apparently there is a word going out that Kanye West actually likes to get like kind of fucked in the ass.
That makes sense. Like,
there's a world
by Jeffree Star.
No, by
I heard he dated Jeffree Star. Is that crazy?
Oh right, did I hear that? I don't know. Anyways, something about that reminds me. But anyways, there's like, so if there's a sex tape, right, that comes out of like Bianca, his wife, like essentially like with a strap on penetrating him from
behind,
it will
absolutely hurt his career due to
that. Would hurt his career, right? That would hurt his career
due to general homophobia, unfortunately. Like, there shouldn't be anything. You should be able to release a sex tape of you getting pegged and have it be totally fine, but unfortunately that's not the world we live in.
But I feel like if there's more, I feel like
he's
if
on
they're
tape saying he loves Hitler,
right?
Yeah, you know, maybe he's
fine. Actually, I think he might be.
Maybe fine, he'd finally make getting fucked in the ass like masculine for certain men.
Right. I just do think the idea of like it would actually. I think it just hurts you if you're the one getting penetrated.
Yeah,
which is so interesting. It's like a power thing, right?
Yes, very much.
There is something here, actually, that I kind of agree with Wintry Midnight, which is a lot of the men in the Black community might accept his comments up until this point, but the second he does something,
right.
It's gay.
Kind
You're
of
right.
gay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Kai Cenat will suddenly be so upset.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Look, no, you're look right. At this you're right.
Former
yeah.
friend of mine.
Right. Exactly. Literally. 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 No, he actually, you're so right. I actually think that's so right. Who said that? Yeah. Wintry?
Yeah. It's, there absolutely. Is quite a bit absolutely. Of like,
absolutely.
It's like, what do you call it? It's like friendly homophobia. It's like I don't know what you would say.
What's
but like
friendly gay, homophobia?
They're just like they're scared of the gay stuff. They won't like hurt you.
Well, that emasculates them. And they,
it's
that
just
emasculates
they're scared
them.
Of
them.
Yeah,
they're that, scared. Of
they
have
it's dad at a barbecue homophobia. Like yeah, I don't yeah, know, yeah. man. I don't
yeah.
know.
It's unfortunately, Black men have to go through a lot of insecurity moments, you know, them. And I think, you know, whether they're like, let's say if they're shorter, for instance, that's going to emasculate them. That's even a bigger problem than them being like pro Hitler or whatever. Like, yeah. like that is so that like them being pro Hitler is not emasculating, but them getting fucked in the ass is. And that's going to be more. That's gonna hit them harder, which is
yeah.
Which is
the
crazy.
Will Smith stuff, Will Smith getting drilled out, is like it is big news for them. Whereas like we kind of hear it, we go like, yeah, he kind of seems like he could be bi.
Yeah,
and,
for
but
sure.
But they when they hear that Will Smith was a bottom, it kind of like rocks their world because then. Anyone could be a bottom to them.
Well, the
know?
Idea it's of like a celebrity couple in their 40s being in an open relationship like rocked the world for a lot of people. I was like, yeah. I don't know, that's so many people I know.
Wait, didn't Kanye West get really upset? Didn't Kanye get really upset about the gay fish joke on
yes, absolutely.
South Park? Yeah. It's
he
so...
made that joke a million times funnier with his reaction to it.
Yeah, he did.
I don't
literally.
Get it.
So actually I like speaking of like sex stuff, I put on the Google Doc this show that I've been watching called Risque Business, and I wanted you guys to be aware of this show because it is actually okay. insane. It is so it's a really funny show. The first season is Risque Business in Japan, and it's these mm-hmm. two Korean hosts, one who's
oh,
like
I
a comedian that. One is a comedian and one is a like a K-pop artist or like a singer, and these two guys, they're so funny because they're essentially discovering sex, opening the conversation of sex in different areas. So like they did it in Japan and they did it in Taiwan, and they like kind of go through what sex, like how sex sells in Japan, like what a love hotel has. Like that's how I knew about the pocket pussy. That's an egg. Like they go there, they like learn. And then so this one is Risque Business in the Netherlands and Germany, which when I tell you that the rules for sex are so lax and so different over there, their reaction to things are so funny. So this is one clip that we don't have to watch the whole thing, but it's these two guys going to a nudist sports club, which exists in the Netherlands. And
great.
I just thought it was a real, like, yeah.
I'm going to assume this is going to be blurred.
Yeah.
They got Leafs.
It was blurred on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, even on Netflix.
Yeah. It's blurred. But you see them fucking. Like, look at this.
Oh, no. These two do not look ready to watch fucking.
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely.
They're saying, my gosh. Uh oh. Is that guy jogging in sandals?
The guy jogging in sandals. Full nude, but their reactions, like when I saw this reaction, I was like, dude, I can imagine.
Dude, a nude body jogging cannot look good. I don't care how fit you are, it looks weird as hell.
I just pictured my mom because I feel like my mom would have the same reaction, like, oh my god, oh my god.
So these are just nudists.
They're nudists. So this is like a place where, and by the way, like when you watch the show, you are open, your eyes are open to a lot of like nudity over there is so normal.
Well, I mean, this nudist colony for sure. But you think in general?
No, in general. Like you go to, like you can just have your shirt off. Actually, I learned that in Berlin. Or I don't know if it's in Germany or specifically in Berlin, women are allowed to be topless. Just like a guy's allowed to be topless, they're allowed to.
Hmm.
Which is interesting.
But you've shown us pictures, V, of you hanging out with women that are essentially topless in public.
Basically, yeah. But like, you know, here it would be deemed as like kind of like illegal, right? It would be like public nudity.
Well,
right?
I'm always very curious about it, that's for sure.
But we don't have to watch the whole thing. I just yeah, they like essentially explain the nudist and
then there's slow-mo trampoline shots. We're in the man show.
And imagine these guys who are from Korea, and like they're learning so much. Like Korea, like the rules of sex in Korea are so strict. And then they go to Netherlands, like they're not even allowed to smoke weed there. Like you can go to jail. And you know, in the Netherlands, like you could smoke weed, or in Germany, you could just smoke weed and that's fine. It's just them being in these. So the first episode is them encountering a prostitute, because prostitution is legal in the Netherlands, a prostitute at the red light district. And talking to her and like going into like her sex room, like what she does on a day to day, like how, and they ask these really real questions that like, I don't think any show has like really asked these questions. Like, it's really cool. The show's really good, but they show like a sex show that happens in the Netherlands that is like,
it's one of those window ones?
No, it's like you go sit down like a Broadway show. And
like medieval times.
Yeah. Like Hamilton.
Oh my God, I couldn't. When I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, if I was there, I would feel so uncomfortable. I would feel so uncomfortable. Because also it wasn't like it's like as if a strip show was happening, but with curtains and like velvet seats.
Mm.
But it was like, and there's like, I don't know, like the music was kind of giving like techno. It was weird, but something about it.
I ever told
so
you the
crazy.
Story about what? This porn tour that I went on?
I don't think so.
Okay, I've talked about it.
Oh, the
somewhere.
One on the bus?
Forgive me. Yeah.
I don't think you told Fiona, but I think you mentioned this to me one time at G4.
Okay. There was a time where there was a company that was starting out, and they were called Porn Tours, okay? And the idea was you could pay money and get aboard a party bus where there were two adult actresses on the bus dancing, and you would drive around, and you would drive around the valley, and eventually you would end up in a warehouse in Chatsworth where you got to watch them film a scene. And
this is like a paid tour for like tourists basically.
Yeah. Yes. It was okay. So I was making YouTube videos, and when I was popular online, you get a lot of people that like want you to make a video about their business, so they're, you know, so they get some publicity or whatever. And so these guys called me. They're like, you do a show with porn stars, this is perfect for you. We'll get you a free trip aboard our porn tour, and all you got to do is make a video. And me and John Na and my producer, we were all on this thing. We're like, oh, this sounds really crazy. I bet this would be funny, or this might make for a weird, funny offshoot vid, you know?
Yeah.
It was one of the worst experiences of my life. By the way, this was like an 8-hour, 9-hour day. So we get aboard this party bus, and there are just random guys on there wearing like Eyes Wide Shut masks, because they didn't want to be like outed. So they had these masks on, and everyone was just kind of sitting around these. There's like two stripper poles in the bus, and then these sort of like lounge seats around, and these guys were just sort of like sitting like this while you're like, it's like 1 p.m. Jesus, you're driving down, you're driving down like Ventura Boulevard, and these like strippers are like, not strippers, these porn stars, and I say stars like loosely, like a couple of them, I think these two weren't like at the top of the game, let's just say.
It's like WWE superstar kind of terminology.
Yeah, it was like whatever WWE show they would show on like Saturday mornings. Like yeah. It was like Live Wire caliber actresses. Yeah.
Facebook okay. Live wrestling.
Yeah. And so we get aboard and we just start cruising. And these girls are like kind of like half-heartedly dancing. Like,
no.
We're like, okay, this is, and we're filming it. And they are like kind of topless. I think they have like pasties on at this point. Mm-hmm. And these just dudes wearing masks sitting. And then they're like, all right, we're at our first stop. They stop us off at like a Hustler's store, like one of these sex shops. And they're like, all right, you guys get to go walk in with the girls and you can buy them whatever you want. And yes. We're like, oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
That's cool.
Like, we can buy them whatever we want. And we walk in. And it's like 15, 20 minutes in there. And then like, I don't think really more than a couple guys bought anything. I think one guy felt bad. He like got them like a little lingerie or something. We pile back into the bus. We go to another store. Okay. Two stops just in case. It's like almost they promised the porn stars that they're like, don't worry, you'll get something out of this. We're going to go to two shops and they're going to spend all kinds of money on
you. That's insane.
And we go to another store. By the way, there's like a lot of the in-between of like the logistics of parking a party bus, you know, like in the valley, like 2 p.m. and just like the backup beeps while these girls are like getting ready to like do a little dance. It's very weird, very awkward. This takes like 2 hours. This is not even, this is just the warm up to the actual, and it might have even taken 3 hours. Then we get to the warehouse where they're supposed to fuck, okay? And we get out and the same girls that were dancing in the party bus are now like getting ready to film a scene. And it's a hot warehouse in the valley. Keep in mind, this was like during the summer, and you guys out in the valley know that the valley in the summer is 10, 15 degrees hotter than it is sort of anywhere else in LA. And we get there, and they just like, there's a bedroom set, and a guy comes out, and he is not happy to be there.
Oh.
And he is not happy to be here and performing in front of all these people. It feels like that's kind of what you do. Like maybe this might, like, it's almost like these people were doing the guys a favor that ran this porn tour thing, because it didn't seem like anyone was that stoked to be there.
It'd probably be like if G4 was like selling out every time we filmed a sketch. They're like, fans can pay to come watch us film a sketch. We'd be like, this is so weird.
Yeah, right.
It's exactly. Right. It's just like a lot of us standing around. Like, and we're like on our phones.
Yeah.
So there was this sort of like they're getting ready, and then they like, all right, guys, we're going to show you how it is to film a porno scene. And it's very much just like what you said. It's just a lot of like stopping down. And at one point they just start fucking. And I'm like, John, go in there and get some like insert shots. And John Nah, sweet.
Why'd you get him to do this?
I'm like, get in there, John. I still tell him, I'm like, you know, you filmed porno. You can put that on your resume, John.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, don't. And he does that. Don't. And he goes, and he's just like getting close, and he's like doing Dutch angles and stuff, and like he's getting like really close. Like I don't think he's supposed to be this close. Like if he got any closer, we'd need to wipe the lens, I think. And this goes on for 2 hours. This is like 2 hours.
How much of those 2 hours were they fucking? Just out of stamina curiosity.
A lot of stopping down. Yeah. No, it was like a lot of stopping down. They would the two girls would swap, and it was a lot of like the guys in the back that were wearing the masks were just like a lot of like checking their watches and just being like guys with like I think a couple guys left. because they're like, this is, I got to fucking get home. And we're going on like hour seven by this point, I feel like. And at some point, one of the guys goes up to the actor, and I think he whispers something into him. He's like, I think he's telling him, like, we got to wrap up. People are getting, like, they're tired. They gave us, like, sandwiches. And, like, so we had, like, food, but then that was, like, 2 hours ago. It's like the whole thing was just a lot of, we're in a hot warehouse. We've already ate. Now we're tired. Now we, like, get the idea. We just want to go home. But the guy couldn't, like, they were waiting for him to bust his nut. Yeah. And the guy, the male actor, turns and goes, like, I can't do it with everyone watching. And it was like, everyone was like, oh my God, like this guy's having a meltdown.
Oh no.
He was having a really rough time. We were having a rough time. Everyone wanted to go home. And then at some point they were just like, all right guys, we're just gonna like pile back into the bus. We'll take you back to your cars. And everyone was just like, Jesus fucking Christ. I never made the video. I don't even know where the footage is, but
let's
just say the business.
Sorry, guys, you're not going to get to see him come. I know we've been waiting 4 hours.
So this is actually like the season one of Risque Business talks about a lot of like male porn actors and women porn actresses, and how women porn actresses, there's a lot of them, and male actors are actually like so few and far between because they reuse them because they're the only ones that can come on command. That can hold their cum, like can hold it. And they have to fight. It's like a skill, like it's like sports. Yeah. And so they have to, so like not a lot of men can do that. So you have to like train yourself to do that. So that's why there's like a lot less male porn actors, at least in Japan is what I was understanding is. And then there's a lot of women actresses. And so like, it's really hard. Like it's like, you can't just pick up a random guy and just say, hey, you got to like come on command. And it's like, the scenes are all like, it's a lot of stop and go. They can't really get in the mood for it. It's like,
it was unreal. Yeah. That's totally true. That's like when guys, like, I think it was like John Holmes or who's the guy they built, Boogie Nights was loosely based on. It might've been like John Holmes. Or like these guys that just like can achieve erection after erection. They pop when they're told, they can hold it. They can do whatever and they can just keep going.
Yeah.
It's not a skill I have. I'll tell you that.
It's that. Okay. And also like being able to like make the coming part like showy, like it needs to like kind of.
Yeah. Force, your Kegel like, muscles.
It needs to like, strong. And also in the Japan thing that I learned was that they have to also train themselves to be in like VR headsets as well for these VR porn stuff. So like they have to like be wearing all these kind of contraptions and they can't because the microphone's so close to them, they can't grunt or breathe or like make too much noise because it's supposed to be focused on the woman.
Sorry, because
of the VR shooting.
Cut, and he grunted. So, everybody,
right, right, which is that's isn't that one. So hard? That's so hard. I can't even imagine how they do that.
Well, you also have to have sex in extremely awkward positions.
Yes, and cold temperatures, and like they just have to be hard immediately. Like they have to be hard like right away, without it being like, you know, needing prep or anything.
I'm guessing Viagra must have been a boon for the male.
Maybe, yeah, probably.
Oh yeah.
Probably. But there's so much you can take because also these guys, at least from this Japan thing, they're shooting like, because they're few and far in between, they're shooting like 10 videos a fucking day. Like they can't like, they're doing a lot. It's like crazy.
It's also crazy the focus on cum shots, because I know that there's people that probably love cum shots, but I think your average person probably isn't as into cum shots as the porn industry thinks we are, based on how important they seem to be.
I literally just read an article about that because it was like an article about, it was on the back feed, was do people even like cum on their face? Like people were like, do even people like that? Or like, and like the reality was like a lot of women just don't like it And it
I think
was
there's
just,
plenty of guys that aren't that into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I also, I think guys aren't really into it. They're kind of like grossed out. They're like, I'd rather just yeah. come inside.
I hit myself in the chin one time when I was on my
what
back.
What does that even mean?
Like, what the? Get this devil seed off me.
I think what if a girl was like, come on my face, I would do it. But I, in my heart, I would know it was more for them. So if they thought it was for me, I feel like I need to be like, just so you know.
Just so you this, know, this not my vibe. Not my vibe. To do this, but I'm fine.
But
I'm
don't
fine.
Feel like you have to.
Not my vibe. Not my vibe.
It's like someone asking if they want you to have yeah, them, like, yeah. cook dessert or something. You're like, well, actually, I don't really eat that right. kind of dessert.
Yeah. That's so fair. That's yeah. But I don't know. That it's just so weird, the sex industry. But I truly do believe that I could film a porn.
Well, of course. I mean, you basically do right
now. I feel
now,
like so I would no direct penetration. An awesome porn video.
But would you get bogged down in like, because like Cass just pointed out, there'd probably be a shoot that was like 6 hours of stop down fucking.
Of course. It's just directing. It's yeah. like what you do. You do this for a music video. I would do it for a porn video. I really would. I think if all else fails, I'm probably going to go into like the directing of porn.
All right.
I think that's probably my last.
It's going to be the business that stands the test of time. Oh, it'll always absolutely. Be there. It'll absolutely. Always be there. The only thing you got to do is like, okay, now we're using bullet time. So we'll just do what we yeah. do. And we're going to put cameras. It's at the tip of, pun intended, it's at the tip, the bleeding yeah. edge of technology. You're always just doing the same thing, except you're just adapting it for like, all right, now we're doing Apple Vision Pro, guys. Everyone
right.
put their goggles
it's
on.
It's cool. Like, I also think it's cool. And it's also like, I would want to find cooler ways to shoot porn and like in stylistic ways, like not like just make it look cool. Like, let's go back to like, you know how everything is like HI, like high eight VHS camcorder. Like, let's go back to mm-hmm. that. Let's start stylizing them. Let's use mixed
you could-
media.
You could just be making porno for women, because I feel like almost all the porn on porn sites, like, I know that there are different categories and stuff, but like, let's be honest, most of it's shot for men.
I mean, I would
maybe there's some stuff in there that you could really like make more entertaining for
maybe. But another thing I learned, this is also from the Japan season of Risque Business, was that there is like a world where, so a lot of women prefer like soap opera-y porn rather than like the hardcore intense porn. So there's porn that's geared towards women are more like about the male, about like softer. They're like softer. They have like dialogue. They have like narrative to mm-hmm. it. So that might be it. But I do think like, you know, it's so weird. I think like I have a lot of lesbian friends who really like gay porn. Like, they love like male on male porn. I can't fucking stand it. I don't mind straight porn, but I don't want to see the guy.
So you like don't, POV. You don't like to have to see two dicks.
Don't like seeing the guy. Well, yeah, no, but I don't mind. I think I'm very like, people just assume I'm a lesbian, so I'm gonna like lesbian porn, which honestly I don't like lesbian porn. I think it's so cringy.
Well, what do you like? Because you watch straight porn, but you don't like the guy. You don't.
So I like the POV. Porn. Like, I like I don't mind seeing the guys penetrating the woman, but I don't like seeing the guy.
You don't want to see like
I don't a, like seeing the face.
You don't see, like,
I also
ass popping up and
I yeah
and
like that
thighs.
I oh my god ew. I don't want to see that. I literally don't want to see that.
Where the hair collects
that.
Between the butt cheek
or
and the
big
like
thigh. Female, or like just female solo masturbation. That's probably what the vibe is.
I like how male porn does have plots, but it's literally like, what if we fucked in an office? What if you were
dude,
stuck
yeah.
and we
yeah,
fucked?
Yeah, but that's the plot. Yeah,
what
that,
if we were on an ill
plots?
And we
it's
fucked?
It's so funny. It's so stupid and funny. Yeah, so I don't know. That's just a little bit about me.
That's a little, yeah, that's a little side, side trip point. I mean, we have stuff on the rundown. I thought it might be fun to get you to, there's a couple things that I found on Black Twitter that I wanted to run by you.
Okay. Fee. Well, let's do that.
Case, would you, could you please pull up Black History Month in school and let's get Fiona's thoughts on,
wait.
On a teacher's take on teaching and providing a point of view about Black History Month to her students.
No.
What do you think
of this?
There's
no way. There's no way they did this.
What do you think of this?
Is that real?
No, it's not real.
It's real.
This is fake.
Honestly, I can get behind this. I really can.
Wait, what does this even mean? Like, what does this even, like, what are they trying to prove?
We should just do this all the time, permanently. Well, before, it used to be that there were different entrances.
No, I know, but like, this is kind of giving, it's the same way of like, why did they put me through an Underground Railroad experience? Like, why did they do that?
This is the same reason that they have the Holocaust Museum, is that if we forget that these sort of things happened, we are doomed to repeat them. And I kind of read into this a little bit. I think there are different ways to do this that are a little bit better. There are teachers that have done this with like, all right, you're going to pick out of this hat. You're either going to be an apple or an orange. All the apples get to sit up front.
I like that.
All the apples get recess. All the oranges sit in the back. Yeah. I think that's a little, but there is a sort of shocking reality to this that is like, well, that's kind of what happened. And if it is upsetting to you kids now, imagine what it must have been like if you were a kid back then. And
my
were,
only concern only concern is that like when you do shit like this, it really,
and the teacher was black, by the way, this is
but like still I feel like teaching students in that way, I like the apples and oranges just because you can see, you can compare it to it, but like here it really does single out black kids, like regardless of how you're teaching it, it's like you're kind of still being like, hey, you're black. Like, you're black, and this is what happened to you. Like,
yeah,
and
it is awkward when there are black kids in the class.
I also do think it then carries on a lot of white guilt. And it, like, weirdly, I just feel like it victimizes. There's a lot of, like, I just feel like you can talk about the history without engage, like, bringing it back into the now times.
I just think,
when we're trying to move past it,
I think it's just kind of wild to be like, I'm gonna put some, like, I don't know,
this is insane,
decorating like macaroni style decorations on a door, and or even for a day, like, you're not gonna get to sit at the front of the class, and a bunch of like six-year-olds are gonna be like, oh, I get Jim Crow laws now. I get how that feels.
Right. I
My empathy
think,
works
yeah,
now.
I don't think that's what happens with this. I think what happens is like kids, I don't know how old they are, but like, I feel like kids are gonna be like, oh wow, like really realize that their friend is black. Like, oh wow, they're really different. I don't
this
know.
Only,
I just,
this to
I
me works it, if everyone's white. If this,
yes, it only if, works. Only.
And otherwise, if you're sort of like, if the spotlight is shown on one student over another, like in any way where they feel more self-conscious or something like that, I think it can be harmful. I do like the lesson. I think I prefer the apples and oranges.
I agree.
Thing a little more.
It's kind of like, you know,
give those little dirty little oranges what they
deserve. You know how like in my school, what happened was they would try to like normalize the word, the N-word, like when we're reading books. So like they would just have anyone say it. What? Like while we're reading To Kill a Mockingbird, they would have the kids say it regardless and just normalizing it. And I'd be like, okay, I don't think that. I really don't
well,
think
that's what we
was
did
your teacher
in
like
school.
A 2012 SoundCloud rapper.
Well, no, it was just like a white woman, and I think it was in a way to like normalize that word in the sense of like,
wait, so you're saying when you guys read To Kill a Mockingbird, you everyone read the N-words in it?
Everyone read it.
Okay. Case, what about you?
No.
Also, I remember I in school reading it and everyone, like, no matter who was reading, if it was like, it was like popcorn reading, and if you got the word,
but that was basically it.
Suddenly every white boy in the class is like, I'll read.
Yeah, literally. I get to say it. Oh, the page is coming up. I get to say it. Yeah, no, it was basically that. And then I had to do the Underground Railroad thing, which will always forever traumatize me.
Oh, wait, can you explain what that was again? Because I think
I really
love this story.
I explained it a lot, but basically it's essentially just when I was in fourth grade, I was weirdly put in a situation. We were on a camp and I was put in a situation where I had to experience the Underground Railroad. And it was like a nighttime activity. And what we would do is they would tell us that if this experience gets too real, to hold your hand up, and then a teacher will come and like console you. But so what happened is you start at the gym. The slave owners will be there. You're now slaves. You're all slaves, regardless. You're all slaves. They're telling us to do exercises and like with the crack of the whip. Then we would eventually start moving away into groups. And the whole goal is we have to escape to the north. Was it the north or the south?
You don't want to stay in the south.
Yeah. So we were escaping. It's like the Harriet Tubman thing. And so, we then go through different houses, and we have to hide, and we have to you don't want to get caught by the slave owner. And then like my friend would unfortunately was not quiet enough, so would get pulled away from the group, and then come back with a slash mark on their hand.
Oh my god.
And then eventually we escaped. It was like basically hide and seek but racist. And then so we were like escaped and we were all happy, and then we were all around the campfire singing some tunes. So something about that was like, did I have to go through that again? Did I have to experience that kind of trauma in that way to understand?
Yeah, to your point, V8, I feel like you just can't teach some lessons experientially. Like you're not gonna, you can't recreate slavery to teach a lesson.
I just think they could have sat us down and had a class about it. Like I really do think we could have easily. And you know what? It's weird also. Like when I was in fourth grade, I don't remember fucking shit. I don't remember what the hell I learned at fourth grade. So to even put that experience on me at that young age was like just only traumatic. Like it wasn't even, I don't think I learned, I didn't even know, I don't even know the dates on these things. Like I don't even have, I can't historically put it on paper. I just know that this happened because I had to experience it.
But now every time somebody wants to play like base tag in a field, you break out in a cold sweat and you don't know why.
Yeah. Basically, or if I have to hide, I go back
on the sea track.
I go back into that scared little child of myself. It's weird. But that was an experience. Apparently it's still happening. They're still doing it at schools. I don't know why.
I mean, it definitely left a mark on you. That's for sure.
It left a mark, but I also do think there's a world where we could have just learned about this, like maybe even a little later. So I remembered. And it wasn't just like a history class I forget, right? But yeah, I don't know. I have a tough time with it because I also don't like Black trauma, like us pushing towards Black trauma, like even in the media, like with all these like movies that are heavily on Black trauma, it really feels like it's not even for Black people. It's like for white people, like things like 12 Years of Slaves or Django. I've talked about Django at length, but like stuff like that where it's like really traumatic to the Black experience. I don't know if that helps ever. I think it just makes it so Django that white slaps, people dude. Feel like they can watch it and feel like, wow, look at that.
I think it, you know, like prestige films too, often made by like at least for a heavily white industry, being like, we made a really like, good slavery movie.
Yeah, or like The Help. Or like The Help, or like, I don't know, shit like that bothers me because I'm like, dude, it doesn't benefit Black people whatsoever. All it does is make like a lot of white people some money. And then they make it in the sense of like, we're really trying to showcase the how unfair it was for the Black people, or like really not want to erase that history. And it's like, that history isn't erased, trust. It's 2024, it's not erased. Like we still see it, it's still happening, you know? So I don't know.
It'd be very difficult to tell a story that like personal to, it's just hard to tell like really personal and careful stories like that, I think, in like a big media context where there's like a million stakeholders and you are going for Oscars and stuff. I think it kind of pollutes it a little bit. Although I did see 12 Years a Slave and I I honestly don't remember it much other than that one scene where they hang on him getting like hung for 3 minutes. And I was like,
Right. And it's like, why do we like, that's so traumatic. Like I understand we're trying to make a mark on people, but I also think there's a world where you can educate about it, but not bring it back to, I don't know.
I think it's that you can go overboard with certain things for sure. I think to Moiti's point, and I've said this too, is like in The Watchmen, where they sort of highlight the Black Wall Street Tulsa massacre.
Yes, yes.
Which I had no idea about. So there was a good use of like, well, yeah, they are making a show. They want people to watch. They make money making the show. But they highlighted a thing I had no idea about. And I thought that was good. A good use of like,
yeah,
you know, use your platform to show
a
massacre that I had never heard of, and like show the just how terrible and like unbelievable the whole thing was. But so there like, are like yeah. there's two like a double-sided what is it but, double-sided dildo
but
sword?
like for example wasn't it last year that like Will Smith was in like a slavery movie?
Yes, that one seemed that to kind of just come and go.
Because, but basically he just 12 Years a Slave. Yeah, dude, I'm just like, I don't know. Something about that, I was like, was that a needed movie? Like, was that a really needed movie? And also, Lena Waithe or whatever, I don't know her fucking name, but she made this show called Them, which was like right after Us, the Jordan Peele thing, and made Them, and it was like, disgustingly traumatic, like something about putting a baby in a bag and throwing it, like stuff like that, and it was very traumatic to the Black community. And it's like, what is the message here? Like, what are we trying to show?
I think we need to have these things. Like, I think there should be a cap on, like, we should only have to watch, we should only be in production at any given moment, like 2 slavery movies, right? And that needs to go to like war movies as well. Like, we shouldn't forget that these things happened. If we get to the point where we never want to see it, then I guarantee you we'll just repeat it.
Yeah.
And it takes like 2 generations for people to be like, what's with those Jews? I think we got to get rid of them. And they're just like, they're just going to forget. And, but there is an oversaturation of it. Which is, I think, the point you're making.
And then another point I'm making also is that they love to make slavery movies, but then they don't put a lot of Black women or Black people in other movies. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I was rewatching Tenet yesterday. I was like, dude, the only Black guy was the protagonist. Like, there was no other Black people in there. I'm like, okay, if you're gonna make slave movies, then you've got to be putting some Black people in your other movies. Like, I need to start seeing Black wizards. And like Black like fucking superheroes. Like, I'm gonna have to start seeing
Black
that.
Wizards.
Like, I need to see Black
Gandalf the Black.
I need to start seeing that. If we're just gonna put Black people into slavery movies, like,
dude, I hope they do Black Gandalf just to see.
Just
the internet, like, fucking trolls just curl into a ball.
I'm like, sorry, like I'm sorry, like, even I don't know. I was. I don't know. I just see, and I also don't see a lot of Black women in movies either. I see a lot of Black guys, but I don't see a lot of Black women either. And I think if we're going to make slavery movies, fine, but let's start putting them in actual movies. Like,
Shaq is Gandalf. Just running off of his Shazam or sorry, Kazam character. I would watch that.
You ain't going to pass. while we're here, Fee, I wanted you to read, since we're sort of on this topic, we're on Black Twitter here. Case, can you go to Fiona Reed's Black Twitter, because we can't.
For sure.
The first item on the Cream Team, and this is just something. It's a little more lighthearted, but it is sort of a nice segue. And
I don't know what I was looking maybe at you for could a second.
I can't see. Hold on. What does that say?
I'll read it for you, and then you just repeat it, Fee.
Yeah. wait.
You might have to open it up on your end.
Okay. Yeah.
Or I can zoom it. I can zoom it way in if that helps.
Hold on. I got it.
I thought this was so funny, and it just. Really wanted to hear you read it out loud.
Let me see. Okay. Okay.
They're roasting this guy just for looking like a
The one that says, bro, look like he eat at Weenie Hut Juniors. Nigga look like he going to heaven. That's funny. That's funny. Stop looking positive. That's funny. Wait, why? This is funny. This is funny. This is a good one. Because his face is so cute.
Keep going. Keep going.
He's got a
cute read them all.
Okay.
But do like how you did it. It's like this is a performance. I really appreciate
this. This nigga is well behaved. Nigga look like a good example. He looked like the word please. Yeah.
I think it's the hot lighting really does it too. He's sort of glowing. Yeah. A little effort.
Well, this is like a highlight. Like it's as if he highlighted his forehead.
Yeah.
He's a sweet boy.
They've turned up the brights a little too much on his face.
SpongeBob when he turned normal is so funny, TF98. That's so funny.
You got it. That's all of them.
That's it.
I read it all.
Thank you so much. There is one more in there, and I wanted to get your take on this.
Oh, I saw it. Oh, I saw this. This is a good clip. Let's end it on this clip, please.
Which clip?
Fox News, the second one, the sneakers.
Yeah, in case you have to watch.
If you guys
don't
know, Trump debuted Trump sneakers at SneakerCon to many boos, and they are all gold with American flags around the sides, wrapped around the sides. And Fox News tried to spin it into a positive.
Even the sneaker thing. I was on social media last night. Very interesting. As you see black support eroding from Joe Biden, this is connecting with black America because they love sneakers. They're into sneakers. They love there's a big deal, certainly in the inner city. So when you have Trump roll out his sneaker line, they're like, wait a minute, this is cool. He's reaching them on a level that defies and is above politics. The culture always trumps politics. And Trump understands culture like no politician I've ever seen.
Question for you on that point, though. Yeah. Will the people that are excited about the sneakers and excited about Donald Trump, will that translate into them going out and voting for Donald Trump?
Well, anybody willing to put $400 down for a pair of sneakers? Yeah, I think that's commitment and love. It's something. Right. It's something. It's affection. Even the
sneakers. Oh my God. What is with that guy's energy?
I love
those shoes. Walk to the voting polls. And cast your ballot for Mr. Donald Trump.
Dude, my favorite part is like, because black people love sneakers. They love sneakers. Like as if it's like, of course, yeah. Black people love sneakers. They love sneakers, especially in the inner city. Dude, it's like, how do you say that with your full chest?
Fox News reminds me of that porn tour you were on, Cass. It feels like a bunch of men that like shouldn't have been let around these women, and it's like their make a wish to get to just talk at them
because they love sneakers.
Scott looks like Pee Wee Herman, but he has big Pee Wee energy.
But this is like this is where lies the problem, the ignorance.
Therein
lies the problem, the ignorance. The way he said that so confidently.
His eyes are insane, too.
I mean, just the idea that he was like, yeah, black people love sneakers. Like,
somebody spent $9,000 on a pair of autographed Trump sneakers.
Dude, it's just a fucking meme. Everything's a meme.
You got to get out. We got to make sure to vote this November.
If I were Trump, I would not run for president. I would just mooch off of all of these sycophants that he's like, these psycho chug people that want to just pay him for anything. I just lay back at Mar-a-Lago and just be worshipped by all of these like weird mashed potato shaped goons.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
it's his meth. The meth he takes, it won't let him relax. He's always on to the next. Yeah, he's figuring out his next move as we speak.
Dude, it's so crazy that he can still run for president like legally. Like I just can't even understand that.
He's Judge Dredding it, Fee. He will be the law.
I just can't understand it. It's such a tough thing to understand.
It's gonna be great. There's a lot of stuff here on the rundown that we'll just push to our Patreon on Wednesday.
Okay.
I'm going to throw up a poll. If we can get you, so you're going to commit to not this Sunday, but the Sunday after. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So there may or may not be a movie night in between that. Yeah, stay tuned to the Patreon, but we'd love to have you on the Patreon. If you're not a member there, you get 4 pods a month every Wednesday night, and then we can do movie nights, and you get a role in a Discord, all that jazz. We appreciate the support there.
And I still want to do the Let's Play thing because there's a game I want to play, but I can also just do this with Case.
Yeah, we can do whatever. We'll do it all. And
we gotta get you a working computer fee so you can play
okay, that's
new
games. We gotta get you a computer. If you've been giving a gifted sub, I know I got a gifted sub to Case just now from Tamtran. Thank you. If you've been giving gifted subs or you resubbed, Case is going to give you a shout out right now towards the end of the stream. Any biddies that you gave, all counts. And we will see you Wednesday night for the Patreon.
Shit, what should I do? Just thank all these subs. If anybody has a beat they want, or
yeah, any beat recommendations,
or a style that you like, let me know.
The style that you like.
A style. What about? I just can't scream, but other than that, I can do whatever.
Let's do something inner city. Something
sneakery. Inner city is insane.
90s hip hop.
90s hip hop is good. I like that.
Wait, okay, there they are. Sorry, I have to find that. Four days ago. Yesterday. Okay, today. Here we go. Let's find some 90s hip hop, I guess.
All right, hell yeah. Some Keith Sweat. Hell yeah, dude.
Ooh, Keith Sweat, damn.
Dude, I'm 20 hours into Pacific Drive, guys. I love this game. I'm going to stream it tomorrow. Tune in, 10 a.m. Be there.
A 90s hip hop, old school 90s hip hop type beat.
Oh, let's see. Sponge the Reefer says, find an MF Doom instrumental.
MF Doom instrumental.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like you got one already.
I do have this guy.
Yeah, this one's real fresh.
I'm playing it.
That's real feeling,
but I think I'm just playing it. Okay. Someday I'll do something other than rap, but for today we'll just rap. But 90s, what is 90s rap like? I don't know. Okay. Here we go. A lot of subs pouring in. It's time to thank you. Okay. At the bottom of the list, gonna thank a bunch of you if you catch my gist. All right. I didn't stutter. 750 bits from microphone 900. He's the boss. Pouring in all the sauce. That's an easy 16 months from the boy Dank Sauce. Hype train coming in. A chug, a chug, a chug. Currently working 16 months of love. Hype train level one. And here we go. Zomba Buddha dropping right in on the flow with the 16 months. Unji 1, 2, 3. Well, 1, 2, 3. 16 months for me. Kanye Woo! Wilson, yes, you know, 12 months, he's dropping those subs for show. Sabrici, trying to kill my ass, dropping 3 fucking bits because she hates my ass, or they hate my Woo! Ass, but I've got a task, and that's Stony47 with the sub for my ass. Hype train level 2, yes, we do, get another sub from Wince, forgot the name, it's Winston Dixie, dropping a sub 9 months, that's my bestie, entity 10011, binary subs, dropping 5 subs, goddamn, 5 subs, you know that I like it, hype train level 3, yeah, we hype it, Uncle Phil, what do you say, 200 bits, well, that's 2K, Matt Liddell with 1 bit, Metal Chaos all trying to kill me because they hate me. Dilemma, that's the 01, dropping 100 bits like it's easy, son. B-mop with 100 and B-mop with 1. He loves me, hates me before he's done. Hype train level 4, but we still got more. B-Grandel, but to settle the score, that's 15 months on the top. Dropping subs, you know that the boy don't stop like he's true blue or he's a 91er. I'm getting subs all goddamn summer from Funnel Web. Yeah, he's the best. Dropping subs, yeah, you know I say it with my chats, that's underwent Trent. How much did he spent? Well, 15 months, goddamn, get bent. Okay, Tamtran, dropping 5 subs because he can. 5 subs, my God, he is a boss. But we still ain't about to stop. We got Sponge, the Reefer, he's a sponge beater. Drop the subs because he's a fucking money eater. Newsic, that's the request. Well, I guess we just did it because we are the best. And I got one more thing to say to you. And that Super Beast easily came right through. 67, well, that's 13 months. Tier 1 sub, yes, yeah, you know we don't stop. And to each and every one of you in the chat, I'm about to say that that's another fucking sub rap. And we done. Actually, yay! We're not. I don't stop. Propaganda okay. Coming in, and he's dropping off the top. That's 15 months, but that's the last one. Rapping for the day, and now we're fucking done. Thank you. All right. Woo! 90s rap.
Hell yeah.
Blap, blap.
You killed it. You killed it, as usual.
All right, guys, that's the stream.
Let's find see you Wednesday.
See you Wednesday.
Cash fools, everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all.